Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast, a space where we will be revealing what is it that is getting in the way of our potential as human beings, as a species, diving into a deep inquiry into body, mind, consciousness, our way of being on the planet today, and our current relationship with our reality and with reality itself. My name is Nikki Clinch. I am your host. I will be sharing the science, research, and evidence, and coming into this podcast from the paradigm of ontology, looking at why you are the way you are, not as a you problem, but looking at it from the context of a human problem. This is not about you. This is about being human. My intention is that in this podcast, you will discover so many blind spots that are running you and your life and how reality is unfolding, and that you can start to experience yourself as part of the human species rather than just an individual stuck in a story trying to solve your own problems. This is the time now on our planet to remember and embody and realize our infinite potential as a species. If you want to dive even deeper beyond this podcast, you can download our 21 Days of Expansion, 21 powerful body-mind ontological activations, meditations, for you to be able to work with your own rewiring and neural pathways to be able to create a fundamental shift in how you experience yourself, how you experience your reality, and the way in which you are a co-creator in the world that you are getting. So just hit the link below to download 21 Days, and that can be yours starting now. But for now, let's dive into this podcast, The Infinite Potential of Being Human. I am so excited for you to explore and inquire and receive all the teachings and richness and education of the episodes ahead. Thank you so much. I'm Nikki Clinch. I'm delighted to be here with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. My name is Nikki Clinch, and I am your host. Thank you all so much for coming in and listening into this week's episode. It is going to be, I think, a really tender and important one. I think this is something that every single one of us struggles with, and I do think that it is the root to so much pain and suffering when it comes to our lives. And really, at the core and the heart of it is our longing and our wanting to change our lives, to change ourselves, to change our patterns, to experience something deeper, more beautiful, more nourishing than what we currently or are able to have. It's certainly something that is very that feels very personal. But of course, because I'm going to be teaching and speaking about this from an ontological paradigm, from the paradigm of maturation, from the context of the human condition, my intention is that we can speak about this topic, even though it feels very personal. When we look at it from the context of the human condition, it actually is not personal. It's universal, it's collective, it's part of the struggle of the species. That doesn't take the pain of it away, but it certainly allows us to shift the domain from which we are seeing it and in relationship with it, and therefore opening up the possibility and the pathway to outgrowing it and maturing and healing from it, becoming free of it. So today's topic is on self-sabotage. Why is it that we sabotage ourselves and our lives, even though we know what's better for us, even though we know that we want more for us, even though that we have clarity on what doesn't feel good and what does feel good, we still find ourselves repeating this behavior called sabotage, meaning we will find whatever way is necessary to stop ourselves and our lives from receiving the very things that we're longing for. Have you ever found yourself just longing and longing and longing for, I don't know, let's use any example, more connection, deeper connection, more community, more love, more money, more success, more validation. And yet you get close to it, to actually being able to change your life and receive it and be the somebody that has that in their world. And as you get closer to it, you find yourself uncontrollably taken over by a pattern or behavior or even just an energy, maybe you're not conscious of the energy, that stops it from happening. And you find yourself back in the same old pain and story that you've been trying to get out of all this time. That's self-sabotage. And I say self-sabotage very lightly because I guess self-sabotage perceives as if we have some kind of choice. And what I want to distinguish in this episode is that predominantly it is mechanical. It is something that takes over us and keeps us stuck, trapped in a particular survival pattern and a particular survival mechanism, one that we are longing to get away from or get out of. And yet we get close to the edge of coming out of it and we find ourselves doing the strangest things to keep ourselves back in it. Most of that may be unconscious and some of it may be conscious. And unfortunately, becoming conscious of it is not enough to make it stop. And so sometimes and often becoming conscious of it and not being able to get out of it is like the worst kind of torture. And yet awareness and consciousness of it is the first necessary step, meaning we quite literally cannot become free of it until we first become conscious and aware of it. So such is the conundrum that the way towards our very freedom that we long for, we have to walk a pathway of extreme uncomfortability and pain. Can be painful, really painful. I mean, if it wasn't painful, then we wouldn't be sabotaging at all in the first place. And I'm going to explain why in this episode. So I think I want to begin by just creating a distinction. Now, I've created this distinction already in the earlier episodes of this podcast. I think it's important to create it again for this one. And I want to create the distinction between survival and living from an ontological context. Survival has nothing to do with living. In fact, survival itself is unconsciously and consciously being run by a desire or a need to make sure that we will not die today. That form of dying will have its own particular individual quality to it, depending on who you are and the childhood that you grew up in. And what I mean by that is your form of dying may be to be humiliated or to be abandoned or to be judged or to be rejected or to be betrayed or to be unsafe, to be in danger. Whatever it is that was your particular root trauma in your childhood or your experience of your childhood environment and your childhood pain will be that quality of particular survival that you will be doing whatever you can to make sure it doesn't happen again. And I can say that with certainty, not because I'm being arrogant, but because if you are human, you have a human mind. And the human mind is only designed for that function. So it is absolutely 100% running the show until we have completely shifted our relationship with human mind. So survival is about investing unconsciously, predominantly, into a way of being and an identity in the world that is invested and committed to ensuring that we are not going to die today. And we're going to do whatever we can to make sure that that doesn't happen. And what I mean by that is, if you were someone that was criticized a lot and as a child by your parents, then what is that pain? Feeling rejected, feeling judged, feeling unwanted. That trauma will be the driving force to give you an entire way of being, an entire personality that comes with behavioral patterns, energetic patterns, emotional patterns, and mental thoughts that are committed and invested in ensuring that you are either going to become the opposite of that, meaning I'm going to do whatever I can to ensure that I will never be judged again or criticized, meaning I will be in control. I will be the one in power. I will never let people close to me. I will never really let people and let myself be vulnerable. I will never really let myself be seen. Or the opposite. You completely collapse into it and every relationship you have, you're being judged. Everywhere you go, you're being criticized or you're experienced that you're being criticized. That you are constantly experiencing yourself being judged over and over again. Because there are really only two ways that human beings deal with pain. We either overcompensate or we submit. And what I mean by that is that we overcompensate, that's self-explanatory. We will do whatever we can to do the opposite. Or we collapse into the pain and the trauma and the story. Until it just completely consumes us and it is the evidence that the way that we think of ourselves is the truth. So you can hear survival is not a particularly alive way to be living our life. In fact, there is no aliveness in survival. Survival is not anything to do with life. It's only about making sure that we don't experience something today or have something today. It's about what we want to prevent rather than what we want to create. Survival will only create more survival. It will never create life. It will mask to you that it is life, but you will wonder whether this is it and whether there's something missing because there's something that doesn't feel fully alive about it, or it's temporary and it doesn't last. So that's survival. So what's living? Well, living is being in the presence of the experience of life. Living is being in the presence of the experience of life in the present. Survival is when we're trying to do something about the experience of life. If you have an experience moving through you, it's moving through you in the present moment. It is of the present moment. Are you able to be with it? Present moment by present moment. Because when you are able to be with it present moment by present moment, you are fully in the present and life only exists in the present. If you are unconsciously or consciously trying to do something about the human experience in the present, meaning you're anxious in this moment and so you go to the gym or you keep yourself busy, or you do 1,000 affirmations, or whatever it is that you do to try to make sure that you're getting away from the anxiety. That's survival. It's doing something about the experience of life rather than being in the presence of the experience of life. And when we're in survival, we are not in the present. We are in the past. In fact, it is the past that is running the show, or we're in the future, which is really just a self-improvement of the past. And that means that we are stuck in time and time only exists in the mind and the story only exists in the mind. All these episodes are in this podcast. Go back and listen to the episode on time. Go back and listen to the episode on story. So you can hear when we're in a survival pattern, there's no access to life. There's no access to aliveness. In fact, the very thing that we're stuck in that's trying to prevent us from experiencing the pain that we don't want to experience is also the very thing that's preventing us from experiencing the very life that we're longing for. And so it's called the vicious circle of the human condition. So those two distinctions are really important, the distinction between survival and living. And so let's take it a gradient deeper. The human mind has one design function, and that is for you to survive long enough that you can procreate, meaning you're not going to go extinct. It's not very romantic, is it? The human mind, and I say those words very intentionally. The human mind, meaning it's not your human mind, it's the human mind. We have the same mind universally across the human species. It is the same human mind with the same design function. It's not personal. It's not emotional. There's nothing romantic about it. It is the same human mind with the same design function. And that is for us to survive. And that survival, whatever that the pattern, the particular pattern that has been wired in the body mind from your past to prevent you from experiencing again what you don't want to experience, what you thought or felt was unsurvivable in that moment, is not just made up of thoughts. So when I speak of the mind, usually people think that that just comes with thoughts. But no, the mind and the body are mutually constituent. They're distinct, but they're not separate. So they work like two sides of the same coin. So what is stored from the past in the mind is also stored from the past in the body. In fact, the story lives in the body as much as it lives in the mind. And so when we are in a survival mechanism, run by a survival mechanism, and the human mind is driving it with its design function to survive, we are experiencing a full body-mind existential experience. It's not just thought-led. It's generated and creating an entire dimensional field made up of emotions and experiential, textural, sensory experience and mental thoughts and even temperature. That's how efficient the human mind is. It quite literally is a pattern repetition device, and it will clock whether anything in the field is something remotely close to what you experienced in the past that you needed, it was perceived that you needed to survive, and it will activate and flood you with the full body-mind experience of the very way you survived that original pain when you were three. And it will not just be thoughts, it will be emotions and textural sensory experience and temperature and mental thoughts, and it will generate as if it is an entire dimensional world, a 3D world. It will feel real, like reality, even though it is a mechanism of the past of the mind. Now, why is any of this relevant? Because now we're going to talk about self-sabotage. Most people that I've ever spoken to, and I've worked with a lot of people, they will say to me that their self-sabotaging behaviors are the most painful behaviors that they have. And it is the very part where they blame themselves and judge themselves and berate themselves and punish themselves. Once again, I self-sabotage. I got close to making the money that I long for, and I binged the night before and didn't show up to the talk that I was meant to do that was going to get me paid a lot. Or I was just about to pay off all my debts and be debt-free, and I parked my car on a double yellow line and I got 3 parking tickets with huge fines. I met someone that really has the potential to be that soulmate for me. And I got so activated by being that close that I got really, really needy and really untrusting. And I picked a fight and ended the relationship. Let me give one more just because I think these are helpful. I have always longed to feel fully self-expressed. And so I wrote my book, and I've been longing to express myself fully without any hiding, but just at the point that the book was about to finish being written, I completely blocked and I stopped writing and I got into a dramatic relationship that took all my attention and I never finished the project. I mean, these examples are not made up. These are human examples. And I could go on, I could give you a billion, but I think you can get the point. It's so painful. We know that we're ready to get out of a pattern we long for what we're going for. And yet the closer we get to what we're going for and longing for and wanting to create, the more we get taken over by something that physically, emotionally, behaviorally, and even energetically, which is often unconscious, something takes over us and we make it stop. In fact, we make sure it doesn't happen. And then we beat ourselves up about it. And then we go deep into hopelessness and helplessness and sadness and self-berating and self-judgment and pain. If you hear yourself, I'm speaking to you. And so this is a painful way of being, isn't it? Huge, huge amounts of suffering. And not only is it extremely painful, it's blocking us from being free. And as long as it is unconscious, whatever it is that is blocking us, it has the power and it will have the power to run and control our lives. So let's bring consciousness to it as much as we can in a podcast episode. So what is running this survival, this self-sabotage? What's actually at the core of it? Why does it happen? Even though we know it doesn't feel good, even though we know we really, 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 really want to be free of it, and we hate the feeling of it, we still find ourselves back in it. In fact, we actively participate to make sure that we do get back in it. I remember working with a married couple. I was working with them in a one-to-one setting, and they were sharing that every time they get really, really close to each other and they experience a real depth of intimacy, they can only tolerate it for a certain amount of time before one of them picks a fight and creates some kind of pain or drama. Now, did you hear the language I used? When they started getting really, really close, they could only tolerate it, meaning the goodness of it, the beauty of it, the very thing that they wanted more than anything was only tolerable for a very short period of time, meaning it became intolerable to be with the goodness or the new experience, the closeness, the intimacy, before one of them mechanically picked a fight, even though they knew they didn't want to, even though they were watching themselves do it, they had no power to stop it. It sounds like insanity, but I bet you, if you're listening to this episode, that you have your version of this. And the reason why I can make that bet with pretty clear assumption, confidence, is because you're a human being and this is a human problem, not a you problem. Now, what I don't mean by that is that, oh, it's just a human problem. Don't worry about it. Suck it up. No, that's not what I mean. But what I do mean is that it is not an individual problem with you that is making it happen and making you somehow too weak to be able to change it. No, it is a human survival mechanism consistent with the human species, led by the human mind that is universal across the species. And it is expressed and run in with particular qualities about it that are unique to you, but the mechanism itself is not personal. Now, it's a human problem. It's not a you problem. Means that whatever is running it is a human being survival mechanism. And yet it is your responsibility, meaning the only way that we as individuals can shift this pattern and outgrow it is if we are individually willing to take responsibility for it, even though it's not personal. So that's what self-sabotage is, but what's actually at the root of it? So let me get right back to childhood and the nature of survival. And I speak about this in the episode Body, Mind, and Identity. I speak about in the early episodes, What is Story? The way that the story is wired and frozen in the body mind, giving you your identity, your perception of who you are, is based on the experience, and then the experiences of what you had in childhood during perceived points of threat, meaning a particular point of threat in your childhood would have been experienced and perceived as if it was a moment of an unsurvivable moment. And in that moment of unsurvivableness, you experienced a particular set of emotions and it had a particular sensory experience and particular temperature and a particular thought pattern. And that exact combination of whatever it is that you were having in that moment of that unsurvivable pain, unsurvivable threat, you told yourself a story. You made meaning about it. This must be because I'm unlovable. It must be because I'm not safe. It must be because I'm judged. It must be because. That then gets wired in the neural pathways in the brain mind, not as if it was a memory, as if it is an actual, real, and true representation of who you are and what the world is. And every single time anything is remotely similar to that threat, the mind will pick it up as the exact point of threat that happened in the past and flood the body, mind, and the neural transmitters with the communication that is required in order to activate the same experience, the exact same experience that happened in that past with the same mental thoughts, and it will generate and color an entire dimensional world and field that experiences like 3D reality. It will feel real to you, and you will think it is real, and you will think it is happening now, and then that appearing of what is real to you will give you your behavior, and your behavior is self-sabotage. So painful. God, it's so painful. So the mind will have it wired as if that was a successful, unsurvivable, perceived unsurvivable moment that you survived, meaning the way that you unconsciously and had no choice, mechanically dealt with it in that moment. Maybe you withdrew, maybe you hid yourself, maybe you suppressed your voice, maybe you changed your behavior to be more people-pleasing, to be more like your mother wanted you to be, or be more like your dad wanted you to be. Maybe your whole body held a certain level of tension. However, your body-mind reacted to that perceived unsurvivable moment in that moment of the past, that will be wired in your neural pathways as an effective moment of survival. And it will play that record over and over and over again because it is perceived as a successful moment of survival. But survival has nothing to do with living. So as you get older, this wiring has really been entrenched and imprinted. You then get ready to want love in your life. And as you move closer to love in your life, the very experience of love itself will activate the mind. Help, help, warning, warning, warning. You're going to die, or you're going to be judged, or you're going to be abandoned, or you're going to be humiliated. And it will fire up the experience of danger or unsafety or fear or panic or sadness, and it will feel real. And you will do whatever you can to stop it, to stop the love. Or if that the very thing you long for is the activator of the pattern. Love itself is the activator, and yet you may long for love, but love itself is the activator. So you can hear it's a complete vicious circle. It's a paradox. The more you go for what you really want, the more it activates the survival mechanism that's kept you away from it. And as long as you are unconscious that something mechanical is running you and blinding you and coloring how you experience and see your reality. And as long as you are unwilling to be responsible and in ownership for being the one that is generating it, not consciously, but it is the mind that is of your system, then it will have the power to continually run your world. Let me give you some examples. If your particular trauma of your childhood was betrayal, then love itself will be the trigger to the entire dimensional world of survival. Betrayal. If betrayal is your pain, then getting intimate or authentic with anyone as a friendship, anything that is real, authentic, and true will eventually activate the betrayal. And then you'll pull away. If your pain or trauma is humiliation, then being seen and sharing your voice or expressing yourself will 100% activate the very survival pattern around making sure that you're not going to be humiliated again. And then you listen to it and you don't share your voice. If you were sexually shamed as a child, then the very experience of sexuality or vitality will activate the survival mechanism and make you tighten up or control or block or put a wall up. And this is physical, this is emotional, and this is energetic. If receiving was unsafe for you and came entangled with some kind of manipulative pain or power play, then anytime you get close to receiving more money, more abundance, or anything that is nourishing for you, you will experience a form of danger and you will stop it. And you'll even watch yourself doing it and you won't understand why it's happening again and you won't be able to stop it. And then you will make it mean something about you, meaning you'll blame yourself, you'll judge yourself, you'll plummet deeper into the story and into the pain and more into resignation. And that is where so much of the human race is right now. The first step out of this is to see that the very sabotaging behavior that you are berating yourself for, it's an illusion that it itself is the problem. It's not the problem. I know it feels like the problem, but it's not the problem. In fact, it has been you or your mind trying to solve the problem. The very sabotaging behavior that you've been berating yourself for and not being able to get out of, it's not the problem. In fact, it's been your solution trying to solve the problem. A very ineffective solution. In fact, a survival-led solution, a pain-led solution, rather than a consciousness-led solution. So can you see for a moment that the survival, the self-sabotaging is actually, has been your way of trying to solve the problem rather than being the problem? Meaning the problem itself is the story, not wanting to be humiliated, not wanting to be unsafe, not wanting to feel shame, not wanting to be betrayed, not wanting to be abandoned. The second piece that's really important is, now this is the hard one to get, and it's particularly hard if you haven't come into listening to life, but I'm going to say it anyway. The human mind is not personal. Meaning you're not doing anything wrong now. You're not doing anything wrong, but it is your responsibility and your full ownership of this way of being that is the only thing that can get you out. But you're also not doing anything wrong. The human mind is not personal. So instead of calling it your mind, let's call it the mind. It's a ruthlessly efficient pattern recognition device. And it is a really, really, it does a really good job, but it's just doing its job. And its job is to survive, for you to survive. So, first things first, seeing it for what it is, the way to dissolve a paradox is to see it, to see that you have been in something, to see why you've been in something, to see that you and your mind, your body mind, is actually the one generating much of the times that you have experienced yourself in something, perceiving to you that there are only a certain set of patterns and behaviors that you can choose from, that it's not really a choice that you can have in order to deal with it. So if this is a human problem, because it's led by the human mind, then what do we do? Well, firstly, it doesn't just mean that you just resign into it. Oh, shit. I guess this is as good as it gets. What am I going to do about it? It's a human problem. No, that's not what I mean. But we can begin to shift our entire relationship with it. Your self-sabotage is quite literally your body, mind stepping in and going, you opening your heart and loving deeper is dangerous, and we are going to make sure that that doesn't happen. You receiving the £1 million and being free of drama and free of struggle is dangerous. You'll disappear. You'll feel invisible. So we're going to make sure that doesn't happen. You letting this person into your heart, into your life, that is so sweet and beautiful and nourishing. No, love is dangerous. You were really hurt as a child. We're going to make sure that doesn't happen. If you can start to bring consciousness and awareness to this entire mechanism and how it is being trying to solve something for you, that awareness and consciousness is the beginning of gaining power over it. How do we change this? First step, awareness and consciousness of the pain and of the story and of this survival pattern, meaning we cannot heal what we cannot see. So we first have to see. It's not enough just to see it on an understanding level. I can't believe how many people have coming to Listening to Life and they really understand their childhood. They've talked about it up to the wazoo, but understanding it does not give them enough power to change how they're being and who they're being. So the second step is bringing consciousness to the entire survival mechanism as a mechanism. Meaning you have to zoom out to see who you're being and who we're being from a human being context. And then the third step is being ready and willing to be in ownership, full responsibility of it. Meaning, I want deep and beautiful and nourishing love in my life. But love itself is the activator of my self-sabotage, of my survival mechanism. So as I move closer to opening my heart without protection, without walls, without fighting, without games, it floods me with the same danger warnings and danger warnings and danger warnings, which without consciousness over that, meaning I have some power over it. But if I didn't, that would automatically and mechanically cause me to energetically start pulling away. Physically start pulling away. I'll start believing what my mind is telling me about it and start playing games. And before I've known it, I've sabotaged the safety and the purity and the sweetness that was being developed between me and this love in my life. And you don't even know what happened. It's like it hits you like a sledgehammer. You don't even know how. So the three steps, which are not easy steps, and these, of course, are the steps that we take you through over and over and over and over and over again as you evolve through your maturation in our world. You know, you come into Listening to Life, maybe you'll continue with maturation coaching, maybe you'll continue in one of our maturation programs. We continually take you through this process, bringing consciousness and awareness to what is blind, because what is blind will have the power to live your life. Getting consciousness and awareness over it gives you power, choice, the ability to choose. Secondly, being conscious of the entire mechanism as a human mechanism rather than as an individual you problem. And thirdly, and not easy, being ready to take ownership of it. On the other side of this is everything that you want, but the only way through is through. Meaning, as you get step closer to deep, beautiful, safe, nourishing, drama-free love, you are ready to take ownership and be responsible for how many times you get flooded with the feelings of pain and panic and terror and danger. And God, the deep, extreme magnetic pull to pull away and play games. You are ready to be 100% responsible for the whole shebang. And that means that you don't resist it. you let yourself experience it with consciousness that it is a story, it's from the past. Go back and listen to the episode of Full Responsibility. And then when we're ready to do that, oof, we start generating whole new universes. Literally, reality and the world starts showing up differently for us. This is the power of this work. And before you've known it, you didn't have to fix the problem of your self-sabotage. You outgrew it completely. You outgrew the one who even needed it at all. And that's when you get a whole new world presented to you. So I hope that you found this episode useful. Remember that each one of these episodes is really just the beginning of inviting you into your maturation. There's only so much depth that I can take you in experientially on a podcast. I do my best. But the real work after this is being ready to dive in experientially into one of our programs. So let me give you a journaling prompt. Write a few paragraphs on the self-sabotaging behavior that shows up in your life. And I want you to write about it as a full body-mind experience. What happens in your body experientially and textually? What happens emotionally? What happens mentally? What's the mental noise that floods you and comes up as your mind is telling you, warning, 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 don't go closer? And then if I were to say, which I have said, that this self-sabotage is not actually the problem, it's been you trying to solve the problem. Do some writing about what is it that it's been trying to protect you from? Being humiliated, being hurt, being unsafe, being violated, being judged. And then the third question is, are you ready to outgrow this? This is the step towards our aliveness and outgrowing our survival individually and as a species. I hope that you found this episode useful. If you did, please do share it with as many people as you can, far and wide. Remember, this is a human problem, not an individual problem. And if you love this podcast and it is helping you, please do leave us a review on Apple. Give us a 5-star rating. If you don't have Apple and you're on Spotify, you can give us a rating on Spotify. And share it with as many people as you can so that more and more people are listening. Thank you all so much for listening. It means the world to me to be able to be here and dive into these conversations with you. I'm Nikki Clinch, and this is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast. That's it, folks. Thank you so much for listening to the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with myself, Nikki Clinch, as your host. If you want to ensure that you experience a fundamental shift, not just in how you are living your life, but in who you are being in it, a paradigm shift in who you are being starting now, please download our 21 days of expansion activation process. 21 activations for 21 days of body, mind, ontological activations for you to be able to work with you both in the experiential aspects of your body and the wiring of your neural pathways in your mind. You can own this for the rest of your life and create that shift starting now. From this place, you can discover the infinite potential of being human and the aspects of the power and the aliveness that is waiting for you to discover it and realize it now. So download the link below to access your 21 days of expansion and let us know how those shifts start landing in your world. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Infinite Potential of Being Human podcast with Nikki Clinch. I will see you next week.